I want to start reading at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, nor by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So what we are saying basically is that there is something coming forth. And this, we said, is the year of manifestation. Amen. Amen. And so as we have declared that, we are expecting some things to happen this year that perhaps have not happened in years in the past. So what we're saying is that every struggle in your life is ended here today. That this is it. This is it. Now, let me talk a little bit about this and see where we can go from here. So the creation here, it says, is waiting for the problem solvers. It's waiting for the people who can operate on a higher level. Remember what we said, Einstein said that level one's problems cannot be solved with level one solutions. That level one problems need level two solutions to solve them. And so they're waiting for us. We are the problem solvers. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So we're expecting exploits to come out through us, and that we are to be manifesting the sons of God. We said sons does not mean, in this particular case, a gender, but it's talking about mature offspring. And that what we said now is that the end of days is coming now. And Jesus came, when his time came, he came back, he came into this earth to reintroduce the kingdom of God to mankind, to reconnect heaven and earth, and to bring back mankind to his or her original state. And the only fix right now for the world is the church. And so what we said is the problem is that the church has not gone beyond salvation, or had not. And this is what we're talking about, just being born again. So when we're saying being born again, we said there are three stages. And one stage is the natural man. Natural man, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Or when it talks about when we were strangers from the covenants of God, that this natural person is one that is motivated by demons. It's a person basically who is have flesh, is something that they use to gauge everything in their natural minds. So they can't move beyond the realm of matter, beyond the realm of what they can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell, or their senses. But then one gets born again and has a new relationship with God. That is, that they now become a child of God, and that through this relationship, they first enter into babyhood, where we said 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 2, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So God wants us to grow as a result of getting the word of God. Man, in Matthew chapter 4, and or Matthew chapter 4, yes, he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we talked about that Jesus said, there are things that I cannot give you now. You cannot receive these things now. And what we're talking about is that he said, there were many things I want to discuss with you, I want to tell you, but you can't receive them now. Even if I spoke them, you won't be able to receive them. And so he said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. And we said that is a law of double reference, that it also, the revelation of it is that the Son of God had no place to put his head. He, the Bible, we found out, is the head of the body. The body is the church. So the head has to wait on the church to mature before it can come back and be joined with the body, and this we ever be with the Lord. So we're saying here that these three stages of growth are key. So this next stage, we said, was the carnal stage of man. So we have the first, the unsaved man, who is a natural part of us. And then we had this carnal man, who is this next man, who is, and when I say that, I mean woman or man. And we said that this is the person who has been born again, but has never developed or grown. And that person is still controlled by their feelings and their circumstances. But then we said there's a growth that can take place, and that this growth takes place and grows us up into a spiritual man. Now, if you notice that each step of this growth, we're going from living from the outside in. In other words, the first life is the life of your flesh. That's the unborn again person. Then the next life is a life of a person who's been born again, but still living by an unrenewed mind and by their flesh and their circumstances. So they're still judging things by what they see. And then there's the next man, which is a spiritual man, which is a person who is unseen. Let's go to that real quick. There's a couple of places. But let's go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, I feel like I've been preaching all day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Notice two people here. And he's saying the outward man, having to do with that which is on the outside, and then the inward man, having to do with that which is on the inside. In 1 Peter, he calls him the hidden man of the heart. So there's a person in there. And over in Romans chapter 10, he said, with the heart man believes. So notice, he didn't say with the head, he didn't say with the outer man, he said with the heart. So we have to actually believe with that person on the inside. That is the person that communicates with God. So we see here that in the spiritual man, it means that there's one now who has gained ascendancy over his or her own body or physical senses. Okay, so this is the level by which you and I have to be so that we could obtain the precious promises of God. And this whole series is talking about possessing our inheritance. We're in this area now we call manifesting the sons of God. So now, we're talking about living from this particular inner man. And when you're doing that, now you're talking about having to move in a dimension beyond something that you can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell. So I put some things down here that I want us to be aware of. One, that once you're born again, there is an inheritance for you, but it'll not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth. That there is an inheritance for you, but it will not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth. Let's just take a practical example. You remember when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in Egypt in bondage. And God delivered them through a deliverer named Moses. And Moses now delivered them into the wilderness. Now in the wilderness, notice what happened. they got fed every day. And God made it so that they couldn't store up anything. You remember that? He said, hey, the only time they could store up something was on the sixth day, which they would store it up for the Sabbath day, or seventh day, or Sabbath, he eventually called it. And so now they had to count on God to deliver every day. Are you following what I'm saying? So there had to be a miracle every day. Got it? So when they got into Canaan, they didn't need a miracle every day. Because in Canaan, they could get some storehouses and put corn in their storehouses. And they could just go to the house when they need something to eat, you know, the storehouse. And so they didn't have to believe God every month for rent. Say amen to that. Amen. Believe God every month to pay the TV bill. There ain't no way to live, man. So miracles every day for you are not God's best. God's best is to live in the blessing. Say hello. Okay. All right. We'll get there. Praise God. So what we're seeing here is that there's an inner man and an outer man, but God had to train them first to come to him every day because they were so used to going to Pharaoh and all that wickedness that was in Egypt at that time. But now God is taking them off, weaning them off that system and taking them into the promised land, taking them into where God's best was. So we're talking about this. We're talking about moving into God's best. So one of the things that we said about it is that the quality of intake determines the strength of the output. That you'll notice every time God changed their position from Egypt to the wilderness to Canaan, he changed their diet. So you are what you eat. So what we have to do is make sure that we're getting some food that is going to be nourishing to us, amen to this, and so forth. And you know, I used to didn't eat salads and so forth. You know, I didn't want no salad. Just give me some barbecue, man, and just get it over with. But then my wife, you know, one day she said something that really triggered something into me. She said, sweetheart, now think about it. Now, I know we eat the meats and get the proteins and so forth like that. But she said, but think about it, that if you really, if you are alive, don't you need live food? Man, that makes sense. You know what I mean? God produces fruits and vegetables and live stuff so that you can eat some live food so that your body can get some of the best nourishment that there is. Oh, am I talking to the right bunch out here? So, it's amazing how knowledge changed me. It's amazing how knowledge changed me. It made me grow up in the area of my diet. And I'm saying here that the reason why the church is where it is because of the diet. Well, where'd they get the food from? The food was fed to them by the leadership. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. It was fed to them. How can they hear without a preacher? So they're waiting on the preacher to feed them some food because they're the sheep. And he's supposed to feed them, or she's supposed to feed them some food, and they're waiting on some good food to eat. Not some 40-day-old bread. Come on. Not some tough, but they need something that's going to really make them get strong. Say amen to that. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 24, please. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Look at verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Look at verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, what's wrong with you? His strength is small. So, now God's going to lead us into places. As a matter of fact, he's going to lead us into what we call impossible situations. Now, these situations are going to demand that you and I grow up. Say amen to that. And so we said that he's going to lead us into situations that the natural man cannot get victory. But now we're going into that spiritual man, and we're going to see manifestations of victory in our lives. So we're saying that whenever you run up against a situation that seems now impossible, that's because it's a faith project. I said it's a faith project. That now God's going to lead you into battles the natural man can't win. He's going to lead you into mountains the natural man can't move. And he's going to lead you into property the natural man cannot afford. But, hallelujah, you are a spiritual person. Say amen to this. And you just tell the devil to give you some room, because you're coming in there not to take sides, but to take over. Say amen to that. So when we're doing this, we're talking about essentially walking by faith and not by sight. So now, once you're born again, now let's get this in here. What kind of word you're getting is going to be reflecting in your ability to dominate and subdue in this earth. The type of word that you're getting, the quality of intake, is going to determine the strength of your output. So now God wants us to go in and possess the land. Every place the soles of your foot shall tread upon, he expects you to own it. He expects you to rule it. He expects you to govern it. Say amen to that. He does not expect the enemy to come in and tell you what to do. I said he does not expect the devil to tell you what to do. In fact, when you go into a place, it's supposed to be that if sickness and disease are running rampant in that place and you put a halt to it, you're supposed to be in a position where you can tell sickness and disease that they cannot exist anymore in this area, that they have to get out of here. Come on now. I'm talking about the saints now. I'm talking about the real people of God. Say amen to this. And I'm saying that this whole flu thing that's going around right now, folks, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. I like what he said over in Psalm chapter 82. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? How long will you let the devil come in this earth with some kind of flu and think he gonna run this earth and kill the people in there? God called you to be gap standers, not gap finders. You're supposed to stand in a gap. You're supposed to be the... See, now I'm talking impossible. Say impossible. But you've been designed for the impossible. I said anything that's not possible, it's because it's a faith project. Use your faith and control the virus in your whole community. Tell the devil the community belongs to you and that you are not allowing him to come up in here. Say amen to that. I told you about the law of eminent domain. The law of eminent domain says the government of the United States has a right to take certain property if it's going to use that property for something that the government sees that would better this nation or better the community or whatever. And it has a right to come in and offer you money. If your house is sitting in the middle of that property that they need, they'll offer you some money for it. And you say, well, I'll turn them down. Doesn't make any difference. They'll take you to court and get your house. And then they'll pay you what they want to pay you for it. You better negotiate. But anyway, so my point to you is you are representing another government, the government of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not here to take sides. We're here to take over. And so when you come in and every place your sole of your foot shall tread upon. Come on, get them number 13s on that property. And and then, listen, it belongs to you. And then once you step on it, you set up diplomatic immunity. Diplomatic immunity says, as as a representative of a government, I can go to a foreign country, and if something happens, they can't even arrest me. The best thing they can do is send me back to my country, but they cannot arrest me. I'm telling you, the devil can't touch you. I'm saying when you come into a place, you set up headquarters. And now you tell the enemy what to do. Say amen to that. Now, you've got to have the right image to do this. You can't see yourself as a grasshopper. You must see yourself as a king. Because a king don't ask for anything. A king just commands stuff. Say amen to that. And those around him quickly bring it to pass. So I'm saying, Jesus said, you're seated together with him in heavenly places. Yes. So if Satan got a message for you, tell him to write it on the bottom of your shoe, and you'll get to it when you can. Hallelujah. Now, just remember that the church is the most powerful institution in the world. Come on. Ever. Don't forget to put that on there. Because in Joel chapter 2, it says it was nothing like you and it will be nothing like you after you leave. You are it. Say amen to that. So, as we look at this, glory to God. So the world is waiting for you. The world is waiting for you. I put down some kind of statement here as I was thinking about that. And the statement had to do with the world actually waiting on the church. And I put down here that the whole world is waiting for you. Glory to God. And that, yes. Come on now. hold on just a minute, let me get it. The problem is not with the devil. The problem is that the church hasn't grown up. The devil is doing his job. That we have to grow up. The enemy is afraid of your growth. He is afraid of teaching that's going to cause you to no longer be fearful, no longer faint, no longer be in doubt, no longer try to get somebody else to do it first before you do it. He's going to call you to be a trailblazer. Say amen to that. That all sicknesses, all financial and business problems that used to harass you, I got news for you. You about to grow up. And listen here. And all you need to do is grow up. And those things will not harass you any longer. I'm telling you, as you keep growing, the enemy will keep making more room for you. I said, as you keep growing, the devil will continue to make more room for you. You'll come into the room, and where he used to harass you, he'll go sit in the corner. And now, let's go over to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. Glory to God. So the church has not had the impact on society because of basically what we've been taught. You know, I mean, all you got to do is look at the fruit. Well, the fruit's got a root. And because we hadn't been taught certain things, we hadn't acted a certain way. Say amen to that. So now what we've got to do is we got to move into our calling. I'm saying that we have been called to dominate in this earth. And we're not letting the enemy get away with anything else because it's our time now. I said it is our time now. All right, look what it says here in verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Glory to God. Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hind part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea do what? Obey him. Now, this man is a spiritual man. This is the same kind of man that you are. The spiritual part of you has got to come alive, so no longer do your circumstances or your feelings govern what you're going to say or what you're going to do. Say amen to that. Amen. That they that oh Lord Jesus, come on, Lord, hallelujah. I got so many things running through me right now. Y'all better get ready, get ready, get ready. They that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So I'm saying here that this now is a dawning of a new day. And when I say a new day, I mean this, that your season, glory to God, of frustration, your season of failure, your season of waiting, your season of delays, your season of not getting enough, your season of not, come on, it's going to be all over. It's a new season. And it's a season for success and prosperity, a season for victory, a season for the now blessing, a season for overflow. It's a season that everything that's been prepared for you before the foundation of the world right now is being released. I said right now in this service, it's being released. You're in the right place, in the right time, and in the right season. That everything you've been waiting on, it's now being released. I said, I decree it, I declare it. There are no setbacks, there are no substitutes. There is only no the God kind of blessing, no delays, no holdups. Come on. Nothing's gonna hold you up anymore. Whatever you're working on is gonna come to completion because this is your season. This is your time. That Babylonian system cannot stop you any longer. You will not fail to grow. You're gonna shoot up just overnight because this is your season. Now, oh, hold it, sit down. I'm not done. I got to preach. I spoke it. I said I spoke it. If you recall, in 2 Kings chapter 6, after Israel was in there starving in chapter 5, and they're starving to death, and they didn't have anything to eat, they didn't have anything to drink, and the Syrian army had surrounded them, wouldn't let them come out because they were going to destroy them. You see, the enemy has been pointing his bony face in the face of the church, daring the church to do some stuff. Well, I got news for you. We about to take a dare. We're about to move forward. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's been threatening us. He's been threatening us with poverty. He's been threatening us with sickness. And because the church has been carnal and have to wait on some government bailout, I'm here to tell you those days are over. We're going to bail the government out. We are now the benevolent empire. You see, the enemy, he's been trying to tell you, if you tithe, you're going to go broke. You tell him, get thee behind me, throw it in the plate, and watch God work. I'm here to tell you, he's been pointing his finger in your face, telling you it's not going to work. You're not going to get there. You're going to be ashamed. Don't you believe that? I'm here to tell you right now, be like the three Hebrews when it was time for the fire. Nebuchadnezzar called them. He said, I hear you boys are not bowing down. They said, King, we respect you. We know you've been here and been here a long time. We respect your empire here, but the God that we serve, I'm talking about the Most High God, he shall deliver us. Don't you let the devil threaten you with anything. Don't you let him tell you, well, you know what, the report just came back that you got some cancer running. You said, wait a minute, the God that I serve, I speak to this body right now. We got something to say about what happens. I'm telling you, we don't serve a God that's asleep, a God that's powerless. We serve the Most High God. And if he says, by his stripe, our days of being intimidated are over. No more. I said no more. Sit down. Let me finish this. The enemy has been resisting you. Things that you should have in your life by now, that business should be started by now. That marriage should be consummated by now. Come on now. That school money for your kids should be in your hands by now. Come on now. That car should be paid off by now. That house should be paid off by now. Come on, help me now. Come on now. Say amen to this. What did he do? He resisted them. And what we discovered is all kinds of forces have been assisting the people who have been used by the enemy against you. But this is a new day. Boy, y'all got me preaching, man. I feel like that. Remember the Hittites. See, they were going in and taking the land. But remember what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 7. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you don't need to turn to it, put it up on the board, and I'll just read it from there. Praise God. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 7, he said that when the Lord thy God shall bring you into, God just told me he's giving somebody in here some houses. He said, put an S on it. Ooh, I just got to. Let me finish this. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where he goeth to possess it, and has cast out many nations from before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, what? Greater and mightier than thou. Notice he's talking to them as natural people. They're going to be stronger than you. But you are with God. And if you are with God, all things, come on, become possible. Verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver you them before thee, thou shalt do what to them? He just told you that they're mightier than you. But now he's telling you to smite them. Come on now. I said he's leading you into the impossible. He's leading into you battles you can't win. He's leading into you property you can't afford. But when he brings you in there, he's going to deliver it. Sit down. Let me finish this. So we said that the Hittites and the Hivites, we talked about those. The Hivites are those deceptive spirits that are deceiving people and trying to grab on to where you're going. You know, everybody on your boat don't love you. Now, I'm not talking as anything. Some folk hitchhiking. But hey, but that's all right. Take them where, you know, take them as far as they can go. Say amen to that. But that's all right, because we going to the promised land. We going in everything that God has for you in this book. I hear houses again. I hear it again. I hear it again. You better go point at something. Okay, where am I? Now, what we discovered is that there are demons assisting them. And what people who are carnal can't see that because they're busy in the flesh and not over into the spirit. See? So they can't see it. So they think they're wrestling against flesh and blood. But we wrestle not, come on, against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So we don't wrestle against natural seen things. We wrestle against something unnatural or something that is unseen. Say amen to this. All right. So now, with that in mind, let's go over to, glory to God, Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Say, I want my stuff. No, say, I desire my stuff. Say, I believe I've received my stuff. In the name of Jesus. All right, now. Now, I want to read something to you because this is a part of what you need to have as knowledge to possess your inheritance. This is needed. Verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall what? Judge his people. Now, let me get myself squared away here, because I'm going out on this one. Yeah, amen, amen. So now, as we look at this, vengeance, vengeance, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. All right, what do we mean by that? Now, just wait a minute. I got to put my stuff away. That's all right. I'm going to do whatever it takes. All right, now. Vengeance. This word vengeance has to do with a revenge, one definition says. It talk about affliction, of pain, or something on another in return for an injury or an offense. Now notice what I said. Vengeance belongeth to me. Now this is God talking. This is not you. This is him. So it says, I look at some more definitions. It says here that vengeance is a warrantable and just action against someone. Vengeance is a just retribution or recompense or punishment. Now, I want you to see this, because one of the things he talks about here is the word recompense. He says, recompense, I looked it up, means to compensate, to make return of an equivalent for anything given. It means something done or suffered, it means to make an equivalent return for it. It means also to requite. Another term is to repay. It means, again, to make amends for anything that has been done. So to recompense somebody. So he says here, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. Now, when we look at this, we're talking about something God is going to be doing in these last days to make sure that not only you get your inheritance, but he manifests as sons of God. So now what is happening is that everything that has been holding your destiny now must let you go. And the reason for it is because of Psalms chapter 103. Come on over there with me, please. Psalms chapter 103. Now, I'm announcing this to you right now. And when the man of God got up in the middle of that, Psalm 102. When the man of God got up in the middle of that famine and he said, tomorrow, about this time, it's going to be plenty. I'm putting it in my own words now. And it's going to be cheap. Say amen to that. There was a person who came up to him and said this, that if the Lord would open heaven himself, there is no way the economic condition is going to change in these people's lives that quickly. Now notice what he did. He tried to bring God down to his level. See, and much of the church has been run by organized intellectuals. See, if it doesn't fit this intellectual paradigm, if we haven't experienced it yet, if it hadn't been written in one of our college textbooks, it ain't so. Well, I got news for you. Experience is no longer your best teacher. Your best teacher is the Holy Ghost. Your best teacher gonna be the Word of God. If God said it, he will bring it to pass. Well, it took four lepers to go into the enemy's camp. And as they went, something happened. The enemy heard noises. I said, the enemy heard noises. See, it's a kind of a judgment that when somebody has taken something away from you, then God's gonna make them give it back. If they've taken your peace away, God's gonna make them give it back. Come on now. I'm saying, it's no, I'm telling you, this is yours. Now, don't think you got to qualify for this. You've been qualified. You qualified by being born again. You qualified by Jesus going and giving his life on the cross. You qualified by being the seed of Abraham. You qualified through the blood of Jesus. Look what it says here in Psalm 102, verses 12 and 13. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon who? Zion, that's you, for the time to favor her. Yea, come on. The set time is come. Oh, Lord, it's some set time up in here now. Now, let's just look at this, because over here in Isaiah, come on over with me, Isaiah chapter 61, please. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm preaching today. Isaiah chapter 61. Can y'all handle this that I'm giving out today? Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year, come on, of the Lord, the day of who? Vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, that's you, to give them the what? Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'm going to read the next verse. And they shall build the old waste places, waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Notice what's going to happen. We're about to build something. So in here, this is the same scripture that Jesus opened the text to and stood up in the synagogue when he began his ministry. But he left out this piece here where it says the day of vengeance of our God. But I got news for you. This is the day that is coming back in. This is the day now that the vengeance is going to be the opening chapter of the end time church. The vengeance of the Lord. Now, it's the Lord. Why? Because it's a set time. You see, Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. I mean, he wouldn't let him go, no how, no way. But God has spoken something. Come back with me to Exodus and chapter 3, please. God had made a statement. Glory to God. Are y'all with me? I said, are you with me? In Exodus chapter 3, and let me know. Now, I'm talking about the vengeance of the Lord. Now, not your vengeance. I'm saying vengeance is his, saith the Lord. So notice what happened in Exodus chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will do what to you? He gonna let you go. And I will give this people what? Favor in the sight of all the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go what? Empty. But every woman shall do what? Borrow of her neighbor and of the sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall what? Spoil the Egyptians. So what is he saying now? He is saying that, wait a minute, here's what's going to happen. There's a certain time that Israel's got to be let free. You see, Moses tried to get him to let him go free before, but he wouldn't do that. So Satan is choosing his system to hold him. But God is now going to bring judgment. He's not talking about so much judging people, but judging the spirits that are causing the people to act. act like they're actors. Say amen to that. And so now, here is God moving in Egypt. As you know, the plagues came down and so forth and so on. Well, I got some news for you. Pretty much, Satan wasn't going to let him go. Wasn't going to let him go. But then when those plagues came down and that angel came down, that death angel came down and hit every household. I'm talking about the households that were in suburbs, the households that was in the city. It didn't make any difference. If they didn't have the blood over them, something happened to them. Now, notice what happened. They had to let him go. But what did they get? You see, if God says to you that you got healed and you praise God, thank God I'm healed. Now, healing is manifesting in your body. And the next thing you look at is you miss 3 months of work and you didn't get paid for that because they couldn't say amen to that. Well, see, you are thankful to get healed, but God doesn't want you just to get healed. He wants, because Satan was the author of sickness, that the months that you didn't get paid, God wants retribution. God wants recompense. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that everything, don't just walk away with your healing. Don't just thank God you're out. Don't just thank God that you're delivered. But think about everything that was stolen from you in the process of that. Your peace, your joy, your time with your family, your money, your vacations, everything that he stole, add it up. And then just don't take that. He says if the thief is found, he shall repay 7 times. So multiply times 7 and make the devil give it up. Now, I'm going to hit some scriptures next time. Because apparently God's people have overlooked this part and have not demanded the recompense. Now, notice what happened in Egypt. They had all these generations. And I was listening at Dr. Cindy Trim up here reading. And she was reading all these generations. And Moab begot Abab, and Abab begot Judah, and Abab begot Judah. And I said, now why is she going through all of that? And that's when the God quickened me. He said, now these are generations. And some of these generations were in Egypt. And if somebody was in Egypt, she said, why don't you look at all the generations? Because in Egypt, there were slaves, and they were working them for nothing. Well, add up all that they supposed to get, that mama's supposed to get, that grandmama's supposed to get, that big mama's supposed to get. Come on now, and just go on back, and then multiply times 7, and command recompense. No. God's way of restoring is not to put it back like it was. Ask Job. When he restored it, he restored it how much for Job? Twice fold what he had before. God's way is not just to bring it back to the way it was. You're going to be better than you were ever in your life. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this is a part of possessing your inheritance. But this is a part some people left out. That the opening chapter of the church had to be moving with vengeance. Another way of saying it is the hand of the Lord. And whenever the hand of the Lord moves, it's going to do blessing on one side and judgment on the next. The hand of the Lord. Say amen to this. Now, we're not coming against people. Say, we're not coming against people. No, no. We're coming against the forces that have been used to resist you and hold back what belongs to you from the beginning of the world. This is your stuff. I don't know about you, but I want retribution. I want a recompense. I said, I want a recompense. Now, you're on the good side. Say, I'm on the good side. I feel sorry for the folk who are not on the good side, because I'm about to take everything they got. Say amen to that. I said, I'm about to take everything they've got. The Bible says, God says that none says restore. He's looking for somebody to command the restoring of everything that's been stolen from you. Say this with me. Devil,
I command you.
Right now, you are a thief, and you have been caught. The Word of God says, through God, command him in the name of Jesus. So right now, I command everything that's been stolen from me and my family back to 10 generations. Name. Father, I thank you for ministering angels. They are reapers and going to get my stuff right now. Jesus, thank you. I have been recompensed, for vengeance belongs to you. I receive it right now, and I'm expecting miracles. Even come upon me and overtake me. I believe it. The word says it. I receive it. If you did it for the children of Israel in Egypt, you'll do it for me. If you did it for David, you'll do it for me. If you did it for people in the book of Acts, you'll do it for me. In Jesus' name, I believe I receive. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Whatever has been held up is now being released. I said, what? Now listen, don't get your intellect in this, because it doesn't know anything other. Make it obey the Word of God. Sit down. Well, I'll tell you. All right. Favor ain't fair. Vengeance belongs to God. I'm not going to get mad about it, upset about it. I'm going to just expect it. See, the church is supposed to be loaded with millionaires. I understand. There's some growing up that's got to happen. And I'm believing God for your, whoever's not there, your quick development. So there's something that God's got for you right now. Did you all understand that? Now, I'll give you more scriptures on it, but I'm just out of time and basically out of energy. But I tell you this, let God be true and every man be a liar. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad. Now, this is not something natural now. This is spiritual. This is spiritual. And you got to stay in the spirit, stay in love.
Yes.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. If you're here, you need to be saved. Get up and come on up here.